Well, good morning. Kids, you're dismissed for children's church. Becky, you're not one of the kids. Well, it's just amazing the way God continues to bless us always, day after day, week after week, year after year. We were talking before church how God is using us and moving amongst us in various ways and challenges. And we just know that God is here. And that's just a blessing. Because not every church can say that. Not every church knows that God is there. But I know that the people who are worshiping here have met with God. Here. So, we're going to continue on in our study of 1 Corinthians. We're still in 14, but we're up to verse 18. So let's read there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting with the 18th verse, and it says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak five intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in tongues. Brothers, stop thinking like children in regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. In the law it is written, though men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. But even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues then are a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers. So, if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and someone who does not understand or some unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he will be convicted by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are indeed among us. Lord, we thank you for your word, which encourages and blesses us and gives us direction, not just the general that way, but for step by step, moment by moment, guide for every aspect of our life. It's here. Lord, sometimes we don't give it the attention your word deserves. So help us to give your word the attention now. May we give you our focus, our hearts, our minds. Might the cares, concerns of the day and the world and the events, anything that's going on, Lord, might they just be pushed aside. You have to be laid at the foot of the cross. Might they just be taken from us right now. And in their place, might we give you all that we are. And focus on you. And worship you. And listen to what you have to speak to us. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me, that you would use me to speak your words. That it would indeed be you and not me who brings truth to your people and encourages them. in such a manner that they can exclaim, indeed, God is really among you. Because you will have made yourself manifest in their lives this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is one of those interesting passages of Scripture, which we've had several of in Corinthians, which are kind of a stumbling stone, or have been to me at times in my life, looking at it, and I didn't quite get it. I didn't understand it. It's one of the blessings of being able to preach. You see, I can't preach it until God reveals something to me, some sort of understanding, or gives me something. So I got to keep going back to the Word, and I got to study it, and I got to say, Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand. And quite frankly, people, there was a section here where I wasn't getting it. I was scratching my head. I'm going, I don't get it. It doesn't seem to make any sense. Tell me if you're with me on this one. Tongues then are a sign not for believers but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers. That sounds almost exactly opposite to what I was saying earlier, and it sounds really different from what comes next. That prophecy is for believers, but didn't we earlier say that prophecy is that when unbelievers hear it, that's what's going to convict them? And they're saying tongues is a sign for unbelievers, but yet doesn't it just immediately follow that up and say if they're speaking in tongues, the unbeliever is going to say, you guys are nuts? So I'm scratching my head. And then, you get one of those duh things going on. Context. You see, immediately before this, we have this passage from Isaiah 28. Through men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to the people. But even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Paul has reached back into the Old Testament, into the book of Isaiah, and he's pulled out this passage. He's put this here. What does this talk about? What's going on here in 28 of Isaiah? He's telling the people about the army of Assyria, which is going to come and is going to crush Israel and take them captive. And that the foreigners will be in charge and telling them what to do in this strange tongue that they don't understand. Because the Assyrians spoke Assyrian. They didn't speak Hebrew. Imagine that. I know. Who'd have thunk it? It's kind of like finding a Frenchman that speaks French. But there are some that do. Well, here we have a situation where God is saying, they're going to speak in other tongues and they're not going to listen. It's a sign to unbelievers that they hear and don't understand. That's the part. That's a sign of unbelief. Okay, now, but Paul's trying to say, this is what I'm trying to point out. If you're thinking that tongues, so it's just not going to do anything with unbelievers. That's not what's going to move it. Not, they don't have the belief. But the Word of God, spoken out, will. Because what do we call that? We call that prophecy. We call it preaching. We call it speaking forth God's Word. Now, verse 18, Paul comes in and he says, I'm thankful I speak in tongues. I do it more than all of you. I don't know as I'd speak tongues more than any of you. I'm assuming I speak tongues more than some of you. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's somebody here that speak more tongues than I do. But again, my speaking of tongues is limited to my prayer closet and to times when I'm in prayer, maybe for an individual, and just seeking the Lord's direction. It's not for up here unless I know that God has put it upon me to speak out and there's an interpretation. We saw that last week. And Paul's pointing that out. He said, you know, hey, I thank God, but I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. 5 intelligible words. Jesus died for my sins. Five intelligible words. When I speak that, that is power. We're supposed to be acting as infants towards evil, but as adults towards the truth. But in your thinking, be adult, he says. In our minds, in the way we converse, we're supposed to be intelligent. Like adults. Now, granted, if you've been going back to the whole election thing, if you look at the ads, you know, I don't believe anybody's acting like an adult. And so some of those ads, I won't even watch network TV right now. It's just so many ads, I just won't do it. So sometimes we as adults, we don't act like adults. And that's what's going on in the Corinthian church. They're not acting spiritually like adults. They're acting like children, infants, babies. They're having baby talk. Tongues, out of place. Sounds a lot like baby talk. What does a baby sound like? He said Pooh Bear. No, I had gas. That's what babies talk, and that's what tongues can sound like to those who are unfamiliar with it. And for the church focusing on that, they're like being children. They're being childish. Instead of focusing on an intellectual, an intelligent presentation of God's Word, the Gospel. Speaking forth God's Word in power. Now tell me those 5 words I shared were not powerful. Jesus died for my sins. That's what I'm talking about. I wanted to make sure. I've been sick. I'm going to go with that excuse. sorry. But when the Gospels are intelligently and intelligibly proclaimed, the Gospel, the message that Jesus died for my sins, that He died for your sins, that forgiveness is available for all who will receive it, for all who receive Jesus Lord and Savior, that Gospel, that good news, if it's intelligently and intelligibly, so you can understand it, presented, that what happens? What occurs? Paul lays it out for us here. He tells us what happens when we're yakking in tongues and people walk in and they scratch their head and say, you people are crazy. You're a bunch of, I don't know what you're doing, but it's not very grown up. It's not impressing me. But if they're hearing God's Word, if everybody in the congregation is prophesying. Now, I don't believe what Paul is saying there, that all of you should, that we should all be standing at the same time and speaking forth, speaking aloud at the same time, different portions or parts of the gospel. I believe when they come in and see that we, the body, the church, someone who doesn't know Christ comes in and they see the church living the gospel, speaking it, everyone, every member, saying, putting the gospel forth as the most important thing. As this is what guides my every step. It's not just here for Sunday morning, but God's word is there for every day of my life. For when I'm with the people from church, and when I'm away from the people from church. For when I'm with others, and for when I'm by myself. People see that. What happens? They see us living forth God's word, speaking it out in our actions. When we preach and we teach, that old gospel song, I'd rather see a sermon than hear a sermon. I can't remember what the title of it is. I know somebody knows what it is, but you know what I'm talking about, anybody? No clue. Okay. There's a song out there that says I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. Well, when that sermon is communicated, when that gospel message is done, what happens is the recipient, the unbeliever who hears it, receives it, that intelligent communication of the good news, is convicted of sin. They realize, hey, you know what? Something's not right in my life. Wow. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of messed up. I've sinned. That's the realization that people come to. Convicts us of sin when we hear the gospel. Convicts non-believers of their sin. You don't believe me? I've seen it happen time and time again between believers and unbelievers. Some of them read God's word and say, you know, I don't like that part. Why not? Well, because I'm not doing it. And it like makes me feel bad, so I want to ignore that part. No. There's no one person here that said that. I think we probably all said that at some point in time or another. I know I have. You may think I'm talking to you, but I'm not. I'm talking to me. Brings him under judgment. When we hear God's word, when an unbeliever, when somebody hears the word of God, when it's prophesied, that is, it's spoken forth, it's lived out. We're convicted of sin, we're brought under judgment, and we say, oh, I need, you know, there's a penalty to be paid for this. It's wrong. It's not just that I'm sin, but we see that judgment. Paul's pointing it right out. Then he says that it reveals the secrets of our heart. Because what do we have to do? We have to confess. We have to actually look and say, what have I done wrong? What is wrong in my life? And if say, you know, I've sinned. Forgive me. Okay. What'd you do? Well, I don't want to get into that. Come on, anybody ever been there? You know, no, we have to reveal our heart. We have to lay it out before God and say, God, here it is. And when it does that, when we do that, when it does that, what I'm talking about is the gospel presented, when it does that to an unbeliever, when they receive it and they hear it, they've been convicted that they're a sinner, they've received the judgment that, yeah, this is wrong, they've laid out their heart before God, bared it out. One writer tells us that, you know, that drives us to their knees. And that's where we need to be, because the presence of God can only be entered in upon our knees. One writer says that. The gateway into the presence of God is so low, it can only be entered upon on our knees. It's William Barclay. Now, Paul tells us that brings us to our knees before God. What does being on your knees symbolize? What's Paul saying? Surrender. I think Chris said something about surrender today. I'm not sure. I'm going to tell him he should stop preaching my sermons before I preach them. But, you know, God tells him what to say, then hopefully he's obedient and does it. And God tells you what to say, hopefully you're obedient and you do it. God tells me what to say, hopefully I'm obedient and I do it. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do it intelligently and intelligibly. So hopefully I've been intelligible. This hasn't been like, I have no idea what pastor's saying today. You know, that's always my fear. Is that I get up here and nobody has a clue what I'm talking about. The Lord wants us to be childlike in our innocence towards evil, but adult in our thoughts and understanding of Him. And more importantly, or as importantly, I don't know if it's more importantly, but in addition to that, in our presentation of Him before the world. Chapter 14, where we're still at, verse 1, says what? Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. I went into that whole thing of what love is, and this is where it is, and that we need to be seeking that gift. And it leads us to this point in chapter, in the midway through the chapter 14, in verse 25, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare, so he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. You see, seeking prophecy, seeking to be a proclaimer of the truth, leads us to a point where people, instead of saying you get crazy, say, God is among you. Seeking the spiritual gifts, proclaiming them, proclaiming the truths of God's good news, is that grown-up activity that He wants us to do instead of being so concerned about making, stay, you know, look at me stuff. Instead of trying to jostle amongst ourselves for position, we're supposed to be digging through the Word so that we can best proclaim it, better understand it, so that those who hear it from us, and sometimes they hear it through watching us, Not the words that we say, but the actions that we do. In fact, most of communication is nonverbal. At least the part that we believe. So, it's a sign of adulthood that spiritually, individually, and corporately, we seek to prophesy, speaking forth of God's word. An adult mindset. That's intelligent, understandable, and focused on God for the benefit of the body and for the unbeliever. Because all benefit when we prophesy, when we speak forth God's word. So might we be faithful as we do so. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, that you have shown us how to be innocent and childlike towards evil, yet adult in our thoughts and our proclamation of your word, so that what we say is intelligible and and it is your revealed truth presented in a way so that the hearer, the seer, the person before whom it is presented understands it, and that your word will bring change in their lives, convicting them of their sin, bringing them before your judgment, showing them that they need you, opening their heart, driving them to your knees, they might receive you and proclaim your presence. Lord, help us to be a church where that is the regular way of doing business. That unbelievers would come to know you and be blessed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we